As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Just listen.
Time for two more.
The game is over.
9 to noon, P.A.
Personal foul. Clipping.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
There's no such thing as stupid questions.
So that would be an L for today?
When you're hot, you're hot.
There are many, many positives I can get out of this game. Yes! Why is it a beautiful morning? Because yours truly actually made it to work on time.
It's a beautiful morning.
Good morning, Rube Nation. On a Talker Tuesday, your buddy Paul Allen in a markedly more spry, chipper, and better mood than yesterday. Because 9:25 to noon starts early today. We go full strength at 9 a.m. Come on! Good morning, Nordo. How are you?
Good morning. What a pleasant surprise to see you here nearly 100 minutes.
Thank you.
Earlier than you were just the day before.
Is the mood markedly better?
Managing the mood swings.
Is the mood swing on an uptick, as they say in the business?
Yes, it is, sir.
That's right. Is there pep in the step?
Ooh, you're running 100 miles an hour today.
Is there happiness in the voice?
Yes, indeed, there is.
9 to noon has gone to full strength. That's debatable. Always were at 9 a.m. Good morning. I'm Paul Allen from the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios at FM 100.3 KFAN. Producer is Nordo, and I do not have to give part of my wage today to Messrs. Cove, Lambert, and or Hockey for filling in for me for 20 minutes, thus the 9:25 to noon. Speaking of full strength, the Timberwolves played with Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose last night, and funny, won a game. No Andrew Wiggins, but who cares? Still no Robert Covington, and his return is key to the long shot bid at making the playoffs. Remember, playoffs, Wintersville, USA, chip chair chance, extra week to speculate. Derrick Rose is such a special player. So crafty off the dribble, such a spark plug. He is the anti-Andrew Wiggins on many, many levels. What if Andrew Wiggins played with the drive Derrick Rose possesses? They beat the LA Clippers, bumped the clip joint right out of a playoff spot. Now Sacramento owns the 8. Derrick Rose said something to Marnie Gellner after the game you never heard when Tibbs was head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Marnie Gellner executing her toil at a very high level per usual, chatting with the loquacious and emotional Derrick Rose. During the course of the conversation, the man they called D. Rose said, paraphrasing, quote, "It all starts by going through Cat, and we feed off that." You never, ever, ever heard that when Tibbs was the coach. It all starts by going through Cat, and we all feed off that. Never heard that with super special Tibbs as the coach.
No, you certainly didn't. How'd that work last night? Worked well for Cat. Of course, personally, if you're looking at the box score, 24-10, something like that, I think, for Cat.
Yes.
How'd it work for Dario Saric game that he had last night? How'd it work for Derrick Rose working through Cat and being able to create his own offense last night?
Jeff Teague, though.
Jeff Teague with his performances down the second half. That was one of the things for me. First half, slow start with the new look lineup of sorts, with Dario getting his first real starting opportunity. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see Rose, of course, and Teague back in the mix. But down the stretch, phenomenal performance by the Howl last night.
More on the Timberwolves at 10:15 when the techie is in studio. Luol Deng played 38 minutes last night. 9 to noon has unearthed a Luol Deng nugget for 1 hour from now. You do not want to miss. To the Wild. Massive game tonight. The Flyers are here. 7 o'clock puck drop on the leader. The Flyers lost last night to Sid the Kid, and they had to travel. Their season-saving rookie goalie, Carter Hart, most likely is not playing tonight. That's big. He played last night. Crosby and Malkin put a fat L on the high-flying rookie. So you have to get this one tonight, boys. Have to get this one tonight. The Flyers are the favorite team of Cardinals Country Clomp. So I texted him this morning for some Flyers-related intel, and Elite Hockey Mind Ryan Cardinal responded in kind. He indicated the Flyers' power play was awful under Dave Hextall, dynamite the last 6 weeks. The solution, for the Wild, don't cheat and head to the box a million times like you did during the Islanders game. Bad night to cheat, bad night to repeatedly be in the box. Cardinals Country Clomp indicates the Philly Freedom power play has been dynamite for a month and a half. More intel. Their best defenseman is Ivan or Ivan Provorov. The recon indicates he was awful early in the season, potentially because he was pressing due to being in a contract year. However, Ivan Provorov, solid as a rock right now. The solution, avoid said rock at all costs. If you see Provorov on the back of the jersey, go the other way. Their penalty kill is very shaky. The solution, score every time we hit the power play against a bad PK with a backup goalie. Got to win this one tonight, boys. Their PK, diseased. Score every time we hit the power play against that bad penalty kill and probably against a backup goalie. And finally, their defensive core as a whole, not very good, and it includes a few who are not the best skaters. So they're playing on a back-to-back, which could amplify this. The solution, match your speed versus their clompers and score. 9 to noon is predicting 2 goals this evening for the Power Trip's Jason Zucker.
Thank you, St. Paul.
A rare Wild player-related prediction. The Power Trip morning show's Jason Zucker will score twice this evening against the Clompers on the blue line for the Philly Flyers and at XL Energy Center. And finally,
thank you, Fargo.
Word has it, 9 to noon is quite popular in Fargo-Moorhead via 740 The Fan. If you are listening now, on behalf of 9 to noon, we say thank you very much.
Thank you, Fargo.
The intel is courtesy of Mike McFeely and the vast and ever-expanding Mike McFeely Radio Network. Turns out they're listening at 740 The Fan. Since they're listening, we provide this.
No freeways, no stoplights, no problem.
All aboard.
It's the 9 to noon whistle stop.
This morning in Fargo, they might be talking about the snow, but that takes a back seat to the Fargo North, Fargo South High School Hoops doubleheader that took place last night.
Thank you, Fargo. Thank you, Moorhead.
It was booster appreciation last night at Fargo North High School, and you know what that means, PA?
Free booster shots.
It means taco in a bag for everybody.
Yes.
Tacos in a bag.
Yes, fat people love tacos in bags.
But it was also a doubleheader rivalry night at Fargo North. First, the Fargo North girls winning. They were down in the first half, but they took the home court advantage and squeaked out just a tight victory for the Fargo North ladies, 47-43.
Brilliant.
And this, courtesy of WDAY, breaking down the North-South boys battle last night.
We had some EDC hoops on a Monday night as North welcome in rival South. The Bruins are running early and often. What a feed from Kier Mabor to Ali Mata. Up and under move. He had 9 points. South was up by 7. The home team responded after that. Keaton Ho goes strong to the cup. He's fouled. He had 22 points. The Spartans get back within three. They were undaunted on this night. Look at Blaine Anderson going to the paint. He's fouled as well. A little flexing on a Monday. He had 11. Big win for North. They knock off South 86-78. Devil's Lake, a home win over Red River 72-60.
Well, congratulations, of course, to the Spartans as they improved to 6-11 overall. Unfortunately for Fargo South, led by Danny Lahai, by the way. Mm-hmm. Danny Lahai put 30 points on those Spartans last night for Bruins.
Can't stop him.
Danny Lahai can't be stopped for Fargo South.
Danny Lahai family, hopefully you're listening at 7:40, The Fan, 9 to noon, the Fargo leader. What up?
Unfortunately, South falls to 5-12 on the season. Congratulations. It's always fun. Rivalry night, the basketball doubleheader in Fargo last evening. And of course, thank you as always to Fargo for listening. And that is today's Whistle Stop, PA.
Thank you, Fargo.
Mike McFeely, vast and ever expanding Mike McFeely Radio Network. Thank you very much for the acknowledgement.
Thank you, Fargo.
Thank you, Moorhead.
On the TimberTech set list today, TimberTech constructs the 9 to noon set list. So here's what's on deck. Kareem Hunt was signed by the Cleveland Browns. That's next. Russo Radio at 9:35. Mike Florio, devotees with ProFootballTalk.com. Our guy couldn't do the interview today, so it'll be a Florio Friday. 9 a.m. right out of the gate on a Florio Friday football feast. Mike Florio this Friday. Russo Radio at 9:35. Techie in studio at 9:55. And today, we commence our 18 for pick 18 bit. It is a Vikings offseason related talker we will do daily up to the 2019 Indianapolis Scouting Combine, where yours truly, Paul Charchian, Ben Lieber, and Miko Nordo will be 2 weeks from Thursday. That's the TimberTech set list, courtesy of TimberTech and TimberTech.com. Kareem Hunt with the Browns. Reaction from 9 to noon around the corner. But first, let's put a grand in your hand.
Indeed, it is the National Cash Contest. An opportunity every single hour simply by listening to The Fan to put a grand in your hand. The 9 a.m. keyword today, of course, is ball. Text the word ball to 200-200. Ball to 200-200. Again, the National Cash Contest. You can put $1,000 in your pocket by texting ball to 200-200. Text message and data rates apply.
PA. Two people been washed in the waters of Lake Minnetonka, and that's me and Prince. All right?
On The Fan.
Enter to win a pair of tickets to the Lake Home and Cabin Show. It's at the Minneapolis Convention Center this weekend, February 15th through the 17th. Get to KFAN.com, keyword contest, for details on the Lake Home and Cabin Show.
Thank you, Fargo. Thank you, Minneapolis.
Thank you, St. Paul. I always love that one.
You're kidding me. Yeah, boy.
Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in love.
Hey, what's up, K-Fan? It's 84, man. Y'all stay tuned live for the hottest man in the world, PA, Paul Allen. Yes, sir.
While the Browns bit on Kareem Hunt, the former running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, if this were an every segment like NFL radio type radio show, then this definitely, this would be the A topic for the day. Kareem Hunt kicked off the Chiefs last season after a video emerged of him bullying and kicking a woman in February of 2018. I wonder what the opinion of Cleveland Browns fans is of Kareem Hunt being in their mix. For those of you up to speed, because Elite Football Minds listen to 9 to noon, wherever you are, in the snowy Twin Cities metro, anywhere throughout the upper Midwest, or listening on the vast or ever-expanding iHeart radio app, which means you could be checking us out anywhere in the world, you can formulate opinions via the Bradshaw and Bryant inbox at booth@kfan.com. The Browns bit on Kareem Hunt. The NFL is investigating a trio of incidents involving Kareem Hunt. The most recent, a year ago, and that was the one captured on video, got him kicked out of the covenant for Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs. The other two, I believe, one involves a situation at a bar in Kansas City, and strangely enough, I think the other involves something in Cleveland, Ohio, or the state of Ohio.
Something at like a resort of some sort.
Right. So the NFL is investigating not just what happened or what emerged via the video, which was awful to see, if anybody happened to see it, but a trio of incidents involving Kareem Hunt. Now, according to Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport with NFL Media, which is NFL Network, the league's investigation of Hunt is expected to conclude by free agency, which begins March 13th. The first thing that came to mind for me, two things. One, general manager of the Cleveland Browns is John Dorsey, who used to run the Kansas City Chiefs, and John was the one who drafted Kareem Hunt, middle of the draft a few years ago from Toledo. So John Dorsey obviously feels on multiple levels, I know this individual inside and out, I know him well, I know his smell, and I know he's a quality player, but I also know we will, not most likely, will have to wait some type of suspension. With the NFL investigating a trio of alleged incidents involving Kareem Hunt, first question would be, will it be worth the wait? And how long will the wait be? The national speculation for Kareem Hunt is that he could be suspended six-ish games in the 2019 season. I don't know. Commissioner, we'll see what Commissioner Goodell does with this. A trio of incidents are being investigated. So the one that emerged on video is one, then you have the other two. My gut feeling is it will be more than six games. And secondly, I wonder if the Browns had steam, he in any way will be exonerated and able to play most games next season, which means a suspension of fewer than eight games, which means it could be six, could be less, could be more. From a Browns fan base standpoint, in perusing some Browns fan reaction this morning, Sinkhole Speculating, at 5:30 in the morning, so I wasn't late for 9:25 to noon, it's predictably mixed reactions.
Yeah.
You get, paraphrasing some of the Browns loving rubes, you got a lot of, I'm not looking to hang out with Kareem Hunt. I'm not asking him to babysit my kids. I'm a Browns fan. If and or when we get him, it's undoubtedly he can help. Put him with Baker Mayfield, David Njoku, and super special Jarvis Landry, and let's see where we can go from there. On the other side of it, it was he kicked a woman. Not only did he kick a woman, it was caught on video.
Yep.
And it's so egregious with what he did, he should never play another down in the National Football League. So the opinions when something like this transpires obviously were very polarizing. Some of the questions would be, should he never be able to play football again? Will the league suspend him for a season? Will the Browns look dumb for signing him, given most people saw the video of him kicking the woman? If you're a second chance guy, a second chance person, you should be very curious to see where this goes, how long he's suspended, and subsequently what reparation to his identity and to his reputation is either mandatory or made once he joins the Browns covenant.
And that's the long road that he has to hoe. I mean, the unique nature, you know, and I am a big second chance guy. So now I'm interested to see what's going on with these other potential incidents. Is this a second chance or is this a third or a fourth chance, if you know what I mean? But because it's a unique job and a unique industry, it's not simple enough to say that he's really good at football, so you know, take a couple of classes, say you're sorry, and just move on. I mean, you know, this sport thrives off of public attention, public commitment. So I have no issue, you know, with the many fans out there in the Cleveland area or just football fans in general nationwide. They're like, what the hell are you guys doing? However, you know, I'm cool with the Browns and John Dorsey making a decision that says, I know this guy, I believe in this guy. And for them, from a pure football standpoint, there's really no risk in signing him at this particular stage. Because
I don't think you can say no risk. I mean, I understand what you're saying. When you say no risk in that, if it all goes pear-shaped, suspended forever, Goodell absolutely comes down with cliched right hand of law, and so then he really never was on the team. I understand that. But there could be a public relations and or image related risk when you make a move on a player like this.
And that's 100% of where that's the risk that they're taking in this moment, especially if we learn more about other incidents. I mean, the video, I think, really means everything in this. And each one of these types of incidents, I believe, as awful and as horrible as they are, they should be taken on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of wrapping up each individual and each story and how to approach them. Because really, ultimately, the first step is making sure that Kareem Hunt feels the gravity of the decisions that he made, whether he was intoxicated. You know, there were reports that racial slurs were slung in his direction.
Yeah.
You know, of all those variables in the mix, he needs to understand the gravity of what he did, how awful it is, and never do it again. So that's the first thing. But the video from a PR or risk perspective is ultimately, I mean, you know, seeing that on video is so jarring. And we look back at Ray Rice, who was never able to recover from the awful decision he made in punching his gal in the elevator.
Yep.
You know, meanwhile, you have Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill in college at Oklahoma State is pleading guilty to and acknowledges that he punched his pregnant girlfriend, now fiance, by the way, in the stomach several times. Ooh. Not on video. He's dismissed from Oklahoma State, gets a second chance at West Alabama, and now for the most part, the Chiefs fan base, I'm sure, very happy that they have, quote-unquote, the cheetah on their team.
And there have been no Tyreek Hill-related problems since he came into the National Football League.
Correct.
So rehabilitation of reputation and subsequently second chance.
But that took him time. That took him 3 years of probation. It took him community service. It took, even at West Alabama, they were questioning whether or not to even accept him into the program.
Yeah.
And so it took time. So how much time is really up to each individual's opinion. Mm-hmm. But when I look at the Kareem Hunt situation, and we'll find out more about these other incidents, ultimately, if John Dorsey is close to him and believes in him and wants to give him that second opportunity, pending NFL-related investigations and things, I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
Dorsey has to know as much, if not more, about Kareem Hunt and the spot whence he comes.
Yeah.
Talking about his childhood and his teen years.
Yep.
And what went into a talent like that ending up at Toledo in Return of the Mac. You know, and subsequently why he was drafted where he was drafted. Clearly he's one of the better overall running backs in the NFL. But when you, I'm not going to say stake your reputation for John Dorsey, because this is not a make or break type situation for a reputation. This is a business decision made by the Cleveland Browns, who are willing to wait for the NFL investigative process executed by a man who must be telling the owner, Jimmy Haslam, I know the inner workings of this human being better than anybody in the National Football League. I know the spot from which he comes. I know the trials and tribulations through which he's gone. And I know once we get through whatever suspension is upon us, I can handle Kareem Hunt and we will reap the benefits.
And that's the key there too, is I think you can be absolutely appalled by something, which if you watch the video, even if you read the report, you should be appalled by his actions. I mean, it's absolutely despicable, unacceptable. But if Dorsey is aware of the tributaries and the circuitous route that it took Kareem Hunt to get to where he is just as a human being, you know, for instance, I found this Cleveland.com. This is just a week before the Super Bowl. His father was arrested at a Days Inn in Elyria. I think that's outside of Cleveland. It's in that area.
Yeah.
For selling drugs.
When?
This was just a couple of weeks ago. Oof. January 25th is when the article. He was charged with a fifth-degree felony, trafficking in cocaine, sold 5 grams of crack cocaine to a confidential informant.
Wow.
Also had, I mean, that's the marijuana thing. Weed should be legal, in my opinion. Doesn't matter anyway.
Well, that's El Chapo up in the mug.
But then now you have the jaded long criminal history potentially of his father. So then, you know, again, you don't excuse the actions, but in terms of analyzing the man, those that are closer to the situation and are able to take in from a case by case basis all of the other variables involved. I think that is something that John Dorsey, he's taking on that boulder and he's got to carry it on his shoulders. But if he believes in this young man and believes he knows all the ins and outs of it, then again, I mean, he's got to make that decision, and I accept that decision.
Wild and Flyers tonight on The Leader at 7 o'clock. Russo Radio opines on said subject next.
This is 925 to noon on The Fan.
Holiday has the new 8.4-ounce Red Bull Editions at a price that will give you wings. Get your favorite Red Bull Editions, red, yellow, blue, even sugar-free purple and sugar-free lime. Now an 8.4-ounce. Any 3 cans for just $5. At this price, the Red Bull will be flying off the shelf. So don't get stuck on the ground. Hurry into Holiday and get your wings. Any 3 8.4-ounce cans of Red Bull are only $5. Only for a limited time and only at Holiday.
Again, sends it back in front, shot by Taves, he scores. May have been tipped to the right of Dukic, but the red light is on, and a power play goal for the Islanders, and they've regained the lead 2-1.
Yeah, it's going to be Taves who's going to get the credit for that goal, Bob.
Russo Radio.
Hey, Michael, Paul Allen, how are you?
I'm doing good.
How was the driving today? Are you getting around okay?
Yeah. And then they wound up scrapping the skate anyway. So came back home here, but it was actually I think MnDOT does a pretty good job. But there wasn't much they could do here. It's just slow moving.
Agreed. What do you think of Minnesota drivers when the weather comes up bad like this?
Well, it's funny because you'd think that that not being from here originally would actually get me to slow down, but the New York driver of me comes out. I'm like, why are you going so slow? Like, move it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you spin your wheels and it's a little dangerous. So I think I'm just kind of following the pack here and hoping to be safe. And I just would love this snow to slow down at some point so we can get back to the arena here today.
I think Minnesota drivers, for the most part, are very respectful when the weather comes up like this, specifically when it gets a little slick. And, you know, when you see people in ditches or people who have slid off the road where, you know, they need somebody to tow them out, I wonder what goes into that happening. You know, I mean, whether they were going too fast, and I feel terrible for them, you know?
Yeah, I know. You know, I told the story on a recent, I don't know if it was a podcast or maybe it was the Athletic Hour that we had the other day, but I remember somebody was asking me recently, like, different weather-related issues that had me delayed getting to games. And the one thing I do remember to this day is one of my early years, the Panthers played in Ottawa, then in Edmonton, like, 2 days later. And we flew in late at night, and I land. I kind of, Brett Hedekin was suspended for a slash. They had on Daniel Alfredson, if I remember.
Yeah.
And I'm getting on this highway in Edmonton, and I hit some black ice, and I wound up in the kind of like an embankment on an on-ramp to the highway there. And to this day, I don't know how, I'm like sitting there, I'm like, how am I going to get out of this? And to this day, next thing I know, I feel my rental car being pushed by about 3 different people. And they pushed me back on the road, and I just peeled off because I knew that if I stopped, there would be no way I'd either fall back into them or I would just continue. I would just, you know, all of a sudden get stuck again. And so to this day, I've wanted to and this is like 20 years ago, wanted to thank those people. I've always wondered, like, what made those three people stop to get me out of there. It was pretty cool.
Are you familiar with a Tony Abbott?
Yes, I am.
Tony Abbott is at Oh Hi Tony via Twitter. He also works with The Athletic and TheAthletic.com, like Russo Radio. And he recently wrote about Juul Eriksson X and his emergence. What for those who missed it, what can you tell us?
Yeah, I think what he did is that, look, I think we've all known that Eriksson X has so far in his career at a very young age been somebody that isn't up to the expectations that a lot of us had. I think he's always going to have the stigma that Brock Besser was taking three picks after him, a local hometown guy that just scores goals, and so he's always going to be compared with that. But I think Tony's point in this story is that if the Wild are going to give up on him, you better give him significant ice time to see what he's made of. And he's basically in his piece saying, now's the time. Do it. Play him. And we have seen that since Mikko Koivu's gone down, Eriksson X got an advanced ice time, a bigger role in this team. And in a very short sample size, he's played very, very well and needs to continue. And to me, in a game on Long Island the other night, or in Brooklyn the other night, where the entire team was really much a disappointment, he was probably the brightest spot on the ice one game after playing really well.
Yeah.
Against the New Jersey Devils, and one game after being about the only guy that showed up against the Edmonton Oilers. So it's got to continue, because I will say Paul Fenton has not been enamored with him, and he has that name has absolutely been in the trading block. So Tony's point is, before you make a rash decision here and trade him, let's see what he can do and in real ice time and real responsibility, and this way they don't give up on a player that could potentially be a really quality player in this league for a number of years.
Tony Abbott, don't leave home without him. Oh, hi, Tony, via Twitter. What do you expect tonight against the Flyers?
Well, the Flyers played at home last night. I just woke up. The first thing I did was look at their flight plan to see if they were delayed because of the weather, and they were. They didn't arrive till about 1:05, 1:20 in the morning here. So there's no excuse. You've got to show up. They're desperate. They have been really mediocre at home all season long, the Wild, really since November 13th. And they've got to come out and get this home stand off on the right foot here. Vancouver's right behind them. They got absolutely demolished last year behind a kid that was making his NHL debut in net. And so you have St. Louis that is now past the Wild. You have Chicago that's absolutely on fire behind them. Now's the time to take advantage of the home stand with some very beatable teams here. And now the Flyers, the Wild were the first of their wins, where they have now reeled off 9 wins in 10 games, including 8 in a row at one point. So thank the Wild for being another team slump buster, and now they've got to make amends tonight.
Russo Radio, the Flyers have that season-saving rookie goalie, Carter Hart. I'd bet he doesn't play this evening.
Yeah.
How significant will that be?
Well, I mean, the kid, the backup, Stolarz, I think his name is, he won the other night when I was watching him. He played really quite well, 2 games ago. So, they've got a ton of firepower on the Philadelphia Flyers between, you know, Giroux and Voracek and JVR and Konechny and, you know, Wayne Simmons, who's trying to showcase himself potentially for a trade. Nolan Patrick, who Wild fans saw an amazing goal that he scored in Philadelphia last month against Minnesota. They have a ton of firepower where they could be potentially taken advantage of is their blue line. But even there, they're getting better. So, you know, it's no gimme, but they should be facing a tired team tonight that, again, played last night at home, and they've got to figure out a way to take advantage of it. And no, it was funny. I was watching the kid DiPietro last night for Vancouver, NHL debut, and San Jose absolutely ran him. I mean, they went for the jugular right in the first 5 minutes, and I was just comparing that to what I witness every time Minnesota plays a guy playing his NHL debut or backup. And, you know, they'll be three-quarters of the way through the first period in the Wild. They'll have, like, 3 shots. Tonight, you're playing a backup. You're not playing Carter Hart. They need to get on their toes and start throwing some pucks at the net and not be the typical Minnesota Wild where they just kind of dip their toes into a game.
We received a tweet from a Brandon Fessler. He's very excited about this question. He tweeted both of us twice, including 3 minutes ago. Russo Radio, What is it the Wild franchise needs to get over the proverbial hump? This is the state of hockey, and we can never get past a second-tier NHL team.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that it's getting to the point. I think Wild fans, at least the way that I read the tea leaves when they write me every single day or ask questions on the podcast or things like that, is or comment on the stories, is that they're ready for a big change. They're ready for Paul Fenn to actually make significant moves. The deal is, though, if you're going to do that, they have to be the right trades. They can't be a, you know, need a writer for Victor Rask type trade. So, you know, I could very well see here, whether it's now in the next, before the February 25th trade deadline or the summer before the draft in Vancouver, that Paul really starts sinking his teeth into this roster and trying to change it up, because I think we all look at this team, even though I think the West this year is there for the taking by a number of teams. I do think that you look at this team right now and they're just not good enough to get to where all Wild fans know it. And at some point here, I think it's been 2-3 years that management hasn't been completely honest with itself. I mean, I've been sounding the alarm that this is the way that this was going to be heading for a long time here. And for some reason, they just didn't, they decided to commit to every member of the core, and it's been a disappointment. And last year, when you have three guys that core not even get a point in the playoffs, you just knew that there needed to be changes here. And so I do think that we're going to start to see potentially painful moves here in the next little bit. Again, whether that's in the next 2 weeks or the summer, but I can absolutely see some significant names on the core potentially go via trade at some point here.
Are you anticipating any trades on the horizon?
Well, you know, usually Paul Fenn has made it very clear that he wants to make, quote, hockey trade at some point here. Now, going into the trade deadline is not usually the time that you make significant deals like moving guys like Granlund and Zucker. Usually that those are the type of trades that happen in the summer. So the type of deals that I could see happening here would be more sell-type deals, whether he trades an Eric Staal, whether he trades an Eric Fair. They've been trying to move Greg Patterson. He, again, as I mentioned, has been talking to teams about Eric Sinek, about Granlund, about Zucker. But, again, I just don't know if now is the time that you make those moves. So I don't expect them, let's put it this way, to buy. He is not willing. He's made it extremely clear that he feels the prospect pool of this organization is not up to par with a lot of teams in this league. And if all of a sudden you start trading around draft picks and prospects for no reason here for a team that's clearly – you know, as the last person that tweeted mentioned, is not ready to go on a playoff run, I think that would be, not the appropriate move to make at the deadline. So I don't expect a ton here. You know, they are either going to be little tweaks of trading, you know, getting rid of Staal or something like that, or if there's anything, it would be a significant trade of a Granlund or a Zucker or something like that. And I just, again, don't think that now's the time. But look, we'll see here. Clearly, you know, they have been treading water for a long time here, and I know that Paul has been dismayed by a lot of the things that he's seen, and we'll see what happens here in the next 2 weeks.
Granted, Dubnyk was terrific Sunday, in my opinion, but why wasn't that a Stalock game?
I think the big reason that Bruce said after the game was that he felt with two afternoon games and no morning skates that it would have been unfair to put Stalock into the net without having to see pucks, without seeing pucks for 3 days. And so that was at least the excuse that he made. But I do think that we're going to, you know, I ruined my story, and I know that, you know, that Wild fans and probably you would not agree with this, but the reality is they have put themselves in a position here where they need to peel off points every single night. And originally they were going with this plan that they were going to spot start Stalock more in the second half. And now I do think that Bruce is probably planning on changing that, and that for the most part, Stalock's still going to be the back-to-back guy, and that they're going to go in what their organization's mind is the best goalie every single night to get points. And so Dubnyk's got to step up. I mean, he's going to be, you know, and to me, you know, to get back to that point, that's the shame of where the season has gone. They look like 2 weeks ago before the All-Star break that they were going to be in cruise control at the way, and you could go with Stalock and rest Dubnyk at times in the second half, and all of a sudden and we've seen it traditionally here, if you start running Dubnyk every single night in net, he wears down by the playoffs, and he's not very good. And so now that's the danger that they put themselves here, is that they're going to absolutely tire this guy out, and then by chance they get into the playoffs, you're going to be going with a guy that might be mentally and physically wiped out once you get there. So That's the shame of what this team always seems to do to itself to make things much more difficult. This entire last 2 months has been all about a team that beats the good teams and loses to the horrible teams. And we've seen it over and over and over again. And right now they've put themselves in a position here where they've got to go with their best every single night.
Russo.
Hey, Michael, which a really good player or players for the Wild needs to start playing much better right now?
Zucker and Granlund. I mean, both Eric Staal, those three have been major disappointments the last month. And they've got to start scoring. They've got to start producing. A lot of Granlund's production is down because Zucker and Staal are not putting pucks in the net. So those three, conversely, I really love the way that guys like Cunning and Eriksson Ek have been playing when they've been up here the last little bit. We're starting to see piece of the future, and that if they get significant ice time, they could be contributors to this team. But there are, this team, the reason why they're losing and the reason why they've been a disappointment is that pretty much only Zach Parise of their top nine has had a consistently really strong season. We've seen Coyle play much, much better here in the second half. Really since the middle of December, Zach's been their most consistent forward. But you look up and down their lineup, and there's been a lot of mediocre seasons from a lot of guys, and this is why they have been a mediocre team this season.
Assistant General Manager Tom Kervers has cancer. Was it hard chatting with him for that sad story you wrote at The Athletic?
It was harder probably writing the story, actually. It was just kind of emotionally draining writing it, and Tom is such a strong guy, and it was such an inspirational series of conversations that we're going to keep the dialogue open throughout his journey as he battles this illness. But it was tough. I mean, I think anybody that knows Tom Kervers, and he has a lot of friends in town, he is such a great person. And to sit there and witness somebody that is completely healthy, 56 years old, has kept his body in shape, eats right, takes care of himself, all of a sudden get the phone call that everybody dreads is just horribly tragic. And so what has been inspirational is that he vows to fight this, and he's gotten a really good plan that he's confident with. He's going through another procedure today. And, what I can promise you is from an athletic standpoint is that we're going to be there every step of the way, tell his story. He's got an unbelievable story. This guy has been in the crossroads of so many huge events in hockey in his time, not just in high school when he led Jefferson to their first state tournament or helped lead Jefferson to their first state tournament in Duluth when he came very close to winning a national championship and did win the Hobie Baker. But this is a guy that was traded for Scott Niedermayer, was in the way of almost history when Mario scored in every single way that you possibly can score in a game. Lost his job in New Jersey because of Fedosov coming over from Russia when the Iron Curtain went down. Was on the ice at the final tribute game when all the Maple Leafs were tributed at Maple Leaf Gardens when it closed there in 1998. So he's got some unbelievable tales to tell, and I'm going to tell him.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you for the time. Have a good day.
All right, take care. See you.
Yep, Russo Radio, The Athletic, theathletic.com. In studio next, the techie on the Twins and the T-Wolves. This is 9:25 to noon.
You're listening to PA.
By the way, are we in the air here?
On the radio.
Okay, good. Very happy to hear that.
On the Fan.
Save the date for the inaugural Mike Zimmer Golf Classic. It's happening May 13th at Bear Path Golf and Country Club. Former and current Vikings, as well as local celebrities, they're going to team up with partners and sponsors for a day of golf. Fun and prizes, hole-in-one contest, longest drive contest, closest to the pin contest, all of that. And all proceeds, most importantly, benefit the Mike Zimmer Foundation outreach programs. More info, KFAN.com, keyword community.
Pitchers and catchers report. Techie, are those four of your favorite words to hear this time of the year?
They are, especially when you look outside and you see this outside. It's like unbelievable that...
God, your anxiety level from yesterday. When did I ask you? Because we will do the techie segments on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Right.
depending on how the schedule comes together for 9 to noon.
Yep.
I thought I was fat tomorrow. Turns out I'm skinny, so I could have used you more tomorrow than today. But after all of the anxiety you were sharing via Twitter, at Aaron Gleiman, or texting me, I had to keep it on Tuesday.
Well,
just so you fought Mother Nature like I did yesterday, where I was 20 minutes late for my radio show.
I heard,
We subsequently changed the name for a week to 925 to noon, and I made an awful, awful decision where, while rolling on 169, I did a little eight-second video clip, and I tweeted while I was driving.
Right.
Okay, and admission and coming to grips with the mistake is the first step to recovery.
Yeah.
Many people who follow me via Twitter or listen to 9 to noon via the emails, and they're all right. I should not have done it.
True.
I was pear-shaped. I went pear-shaped. People go pear-shaped, and they do stupid things.
Yes. You're not mentioning the A topic in my level of amusement from yesterday, though.
What?
That the hatch to your gas tank was iced shut.
Yeah.
After you made a big spot move the night before to not go get gas.
Yeah, I lied. Well, I didn't lie. I just didn't fully tell the truth to the program director, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, or the producer, Nordo.
Oh, so you had to stop on the way here?
Yeah, I had it all figured out Sunday night, okay? I had it all figured out where it was the premiere of the first episode of the second half of season 9 of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So I do Sunday spaghetti dinners at my house.
All right.
And it's super, super warm, sit around the table, get squared away for the week. I timed that sucker up to 15 minutes before The Walking Dead, caught up on NBA box scores, and I'm like, I know I have 32 miles of gas, okay, to get from Eden Prairie to Holy Family Catholic High School in Victoria. It's going to take this much gas, and I'm going to have to get gas. But we're going to go 15, 20 minutes early. I'm going to drop HOF off 15, 20 minutes early, which I did, and I will make 9 to noon easily, even stopping to get gas. It took me an hour, 15 minutes to go 0.9 miles.
Yeah.
I knew I was dead. Then I stopped to get gas, kept pushing the button to open the gas tank. Hatch wouldn't open.
That's great.
Took a key off my key ring, stuck it in there, and tried to wedge it open.
Yeah.
Scratched my car. So kept pushing the button like I was playing Asteroids with AG back in the day, and hatch would not open. So now, for a fleeting moment, I was like, now I'm going to have to call program director and producer and say, not only am I going to be late, I'm out. And I'm out. I guess I could put a lie on top of a lie, because I spun off and I'm on the side of the road and there's no hope, no healing, no hope, no help. But it's because I couldn't get the hatch to my gas tank open. So then I banged on the mug after I scratched the car. It opened. I put $4.50 of gas in that mug, and I got here for 9:25 to noon.
Maybe that'll be like the new. I mean, there are some shows that start at like 6:05 instead of 6. Like a baseball game will start at 7:07 instead of 7. Like, maybe this will be the new thing. Like,
you're brilliant.
Your show starts at 9:24 every morning.
You're brilliant.
Yeah, ratings wise, could be huge.
Summer is coming. Pitchers and catchers signify summer. That definitely is the deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, you start to see all the beat reporters taking their terrible grainy photos of people 400 feet away playing long toss on some field. And it's like, you know what? A month from now, I would be so annoyed at these pictures. But right now, it's like soothing to me. I see it and
bit.
I go, like, it's around the corner. It does seem crazy that it's happening in the same universe that this weather is happening outside here.
Yeah.
But, like, my Gleeman and the Geek co-host, John Bonas, the Twins geek, he's leaving Friday for Fort Myers.
Good Lord.
And he told me, like, good luck.
Why do you never leave and go in? Why don't you ever bring beloved BJ to a resort on a beach at an exotic location? Like, why don't you guys, you love baseball, you are editor-in-chief at Baseball Prospectus. 9:25 to noon has learned a lot of high-level baseball players come out of the Dominican. Well, it could be a great business expense to go to Hard Rock Casino and Resort in Punta Cana, which is in the Dominican, and you can scout some players running around on sand lots throughout the Dominican.
Yeah.
And get your beloved BJ away from this weather and on a beach.
That's not a bad idea. The last time we went away was baseball related. We went to Wrigley in Chicago for a weekend. And that was like 2 years ago. So even that was baseball focused.
Yeah.
That's like the only way she can get even half a vacation out of me is, yeah, we went to two games at Wrigley Field.
It'll take you a full week. Well, you probably edited it, but if you didn't, it would take you a full week to read the 2019 Baseball Prospectus Annual.
Yeah, 608 pages.
Yeah. So now when you sit back in the comfy chairs in the little tiki hut looking at the turquoise water while wiggling your toes in the white sand, the pristine sand of Punta Cana, you could technically be working and make it a business expense.
Yeah, John Bonas, he said, I'm going to be in Fort Myers for like 12 days. He said, come down for the second half. They got a condo that they're renting, the Twins Daily guys.
Oh, nice.
And I said, that sounds great. Cause he's like, you know, they got Wi-Fi here. You can edit from here.
Yeah.
And I said, that's true. Mm. However, I know how that works. I'll get down there and the first night I'll be at some bar with John Bonas and Lavelle. And then I'm supposed to go back and edit, which, you know,
there's
a blood alcohol level where you're not supposed to put anything on the internet.
But Thad Levine might be there and you might be able to get some steam.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I could get some inside scoop on all the free agents, the trades that.
Well, you're so negative. Stop being so negative. How was your drive in?
It was great because I didn't drive.
What?
I Ubered. I looked outside. And I looked at the golf cart that is my Honda Fit.
What's a Honda Fit?
The world's smallest, least valuable winter car.
Is it an electric car?
I mean, it might as well be. It's a real car.
It's just slightly larger than a go-kart or smart.
Yeah. So your car has one-wheel drive.
Yeah. But it's like the Flintstones car where you put your feet out the bottom and you just sort of... Yeah.
You take beloved BJ to Punta Cana and stay at a Two Seasons.
Let me say this. Sometimes, like last winter, I remember beloved BJ, she said to me, we should get like a sandbag to put in the back. And I was like, doesn't the car weigh like 4,000 pounds? Like, what is that? And she looked it up and the car weighs like 800 pounds. It doesn't even do. So I realized that, even in like any sort of snow, like last couple of weeks, it's iffy, this car. I looked outside.
It like spins about.
Yeah. It has no traction whatsoever.
It has one wheel drive.
Basically. And so I looked outside and I thought, only a doofus like me would drive in to be an in-studio guest when they could just call in like Russo just did.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, if you're going to do that, if you're going to be the doofus on that level, do that.
But you don't talk on the phone.
That is true. I hate doing call-ins.
Right.
At least don't drive your golf cart and get stuck in a ditch somewhere like you were talking about for real.
Brilliant.
And then I'd be calling you anyway to say, PA, I'm on 394. I'm on the 8 mile marker, and you'd be like, well, show's done at noon. We could maybe send somebody out there at that point.
Do you drive much, or is your entire existence pretty much around your swanky Minneapolis spot?
Well, I drive here at least once a week.
Okay.
During baseball season, I drive here at least twice a week.
Okay.
So, you know, that's about the extent of it. But yeah, when you work from home and you are an indoorsman, you don't have to drive that much, which is when the Honda Fit doesn't seem so bad.
Do you drive to the grocery store?
No, we live like around the corner from a grocery store, so we don't have to. I walk to the grocery store.
So you go to the grocery store. You have stuff in your refrigerator.
Yes, frozen pizzas.
Sweet.
We got some Kraft mac and cheese, all the essentials for a blizzard.
Tell me about Tim Collins. Diminutive lefty with good velocity when he was a stud with the Royals.
Yep.
Couple of Tommy John surgeries later, he's in Fort Myers with us. Your thoughts?
He's, for whatever you want to say, and I, like you said, I've been negative about their lack of pitching moves on the, you know, free agent trade front. Mm-hmm. But one thing they have done, I think, is on a lower level, they made some very interesting minor league signings that are outside the box. They signed a guy who's playing in the Atlantic League, which is an independent league. They signed a guy who's playing in Korea and Japan. They signed Tim Collins, who you just mentioned, who is a guy whose career has been derailed by multiple injuries, but before that was a high-impact left-handed reliever.
Yeah.
So if there's a 5% chance
he
gets
tiny, right? Isn't he like 5'8"?
Yeah, one of the smallest. And you see, throw 99 out of that little frame. It was crazy to watch. And
I went deep diving a little bit on him yesterday, and in his heyday with the Royals and those good Royals teams, he was in mid-ish 90s, you know, 95, 96 is whatever, with the Nationals last year. You know, even though for the most part he was taking some L's in truncated fashion, I think he was 92.5, 93, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, it's close enough that if he can get another year in the rear view where he's somewhat healthy, you can start to tack on a mile or two per hour. I mean, you don't have to throw 100 to be effective, but we've reached the point in baseball where the velocities are such that a bullpen arm that's throwing less than 93, 94 is going to have great control or have a great changeup or slider or some secondary pitch.
Yeah.
Because you just can't get by with, you know, primarily being a fastball pitcher as a reliever unless you're 93, 94. But he's close enough to that level. But, I mean, he's a long shot, but they've signed four or five interesting long shots at least. And ultimately, there's a decent chance that none of them will have any sort of impact. I mean, we're only talking about this stuff because they didn't go out and sign Craig Kimbrell or, yep, or Dallas Keuchel. But, you know, it's separate from that. I think you can be frustrated by their lack of bigger moves and still say, all right, some of these smaller moves are interesting at least.
Okay. Who is Justin Nicolino? And another, what's his deal?
Another pitcher. Probably not the same kind of upside as Tim Collins. But they signed him. They signed Tim Collins. They signed Will and Rosario, who was a former catcher for the Rockies, who went overseas for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Jordani Valdespin, who was a former outfielder for the Mets and the Marlins. They're definitely...
We got your guy Duda?
Yeah, Lucas Duda, who was a former starting first baseman for the Mets and then played last year for the Braves and the Royals. He's the bigger name, and he would be... If he makes the team, I think he'll make just short of $2 million. But the problem there is he's a, you know, first baseman, DH, got some power, low batting average guy. But they have Nelson Cruz slotted in as the everyday DH, obviously. And then they have CJ Krohn as your primary first baseman. And even if something goes haywire or pear-shaped with CJ Krohn, they have Tyler Austin as the backup there.
So, main man, Aaron Gleeman, aaronglieman.com, at Aaron Gleeman via Twitter for salacious tweets. And he's the editor-in-chief of Baseball Prospectus and baseballprospectus.com. You mentioned Krohn. You mentioned Duda all day. Go through all these potential first basemen we have. And just how different they are from Joe Mauer.
They're definitely very different from Joe Mauer. Not only, obviously, do they have more power than Joe Mauer, but their weakness was Mauer's strength. Mauer's strength was on-base skills, grinding out at bats, making the pitcher throw strikes, not offering at pitches that are an inch off the plate. And there were some people who criticized him for that. There are a lot of people like me who viewed that as, you know, one of the primary assets any hitter can have.
Yeah.
The guys they've acquired... You know, CJ Krohn, he's up there hacking. Tyler Austin is up there hacking. Lucas Duda is a little bit more of a guy who will draw walks, but he's also a 240, I think, career hitter.
Yeah.
So, you know, very opposite of Joe Mauer. But yes, they've definitely added, whether it's Cruz or Krohn or Austin or Duda or even some of the prospects they have coming up, like someone like Brent Rooker, who a lot of people have highlighted as someone who can make an impact in the second half. Those are all 25, 30 homer guys.
Okay.
Which is, you know, very different than Joe Mauer. I think the difficulty they're going to have in matching what was even Mauer's overall mediocre performances defensively, none of those guys are even close to Mauer. And in terms of grinding out at bats, being a tough out, and on base percentage, filling those bases for someone like Nelson Cruz to drive in, even at his diminished capacity post-concussion, Mauer was still one of the best in the league at just getting on base. So you can provide RBI chances for everyone else. And all the new guys are more RBI guys as opposed to on-base guys.
Twins techie.
Realmuto?
Yeah.
Realmuto?
JT Realmuto.
Should the Twins have been interested in that stud catcher, JT Realmuto, who went from the Fish to the Phillies?
Yes. I think he's probably one of the more underrated all-around players. I mean, I think he's a top two or top three catcher.
Yeah.
Relatively young, good on both sides of the ball. Under control, I think, for two more years at reasonable salaries. But if you look at what the Phillies gave up, they gave up their best pitching prospect,
and
a couple other valuable guys. It's always tricky to find, well, what would the equivalent be if the Twins tried to make that trade?
Yeah.
But you're definitely talking, they're going to ask for Royce Lewis. They're going to ask for Alex Kirilov.
Yeah.
They're going to ask for Gratterall, who's a pitching prospect who's really good in the low minors for the Twins. And, you know, you can argue all day about whether it's worthwhile, but I think a lot of Twins fans would go, ooh, they should go trade for this guy. He'd be a huge upgrade at catcher.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, do you want to trade Alex Kirilov for him? I think a very small percent would do that. I think it's more debatable. I think prospects tend to be a little bit overrated. But when you're in a position like the Twins, where you're unwilling or unable, they might say, to spend bigger now, they're very clearly laying out a plan that we're not focusing on this year. We're focusing on next year and the next 5 years, in which case you're not going to trade a top prospect who you can control for 6 or 7 years for even a really good underrated player like Realmuto for only 2 years.
Techie on the T-Wolves around the corner, but first, hey, it's cash call time.
National Cash Contest. New keyword every hour just for listening to The Fan, and a new shot at putting a grand in your hand. This hour's keyword is jock. Text the word jock to 200-200. That is jock to 200. 200, again, put a grand in your hand. Jock to 200, 200. Text message data rates do apply.
You're listening to PA.
Like I took the wrong week to quit drinking.
On the Fan.
Enter to win a family four-pack of tickets to the Minneapolis Home and Gardening Show. It's at the Minneapolis Convention Center, February 22nd through the 24th. Just get to KFAN.com, keyword contest, for the details.
Gleeman.
No Wiggins last night, no problem. What did we like about the Wolves sans Wiggins?
I mean, they played well. It was interesting. I mean, Lou Aldang's been a decent player now for a little while. That is unexpected.
I got a Lou Aldang nugget coming up for you here momentarily.
Okay.
Super excited about it. It took me 3 minutes to find.
It's a little tough to tell because, I mean, we talked, I think, last week about the Clippers situation, which is they're not a horrible team, but they're also not, you know, pedal to the metal here.
No.
Trying to go for it.
They're all done.
I guess, you know, people might say something similar about the Wolves.
They're all done.
So, I mean, that's a decent win, but it's hard to really take too much of it. I do think certainly that adds fuel to the Wiggins isn't really a plus, generally, fire.
Yep.
When you can sub in a 800-year-old Lu Aldang and, you know, Josh Okogie plays 35 minutes, and they're like, yeah, not only are they just fine, but they appear to be actually a better, certainly a lot of better five-man units out there without Wiggins.
Techie, you like intel, right?
Sure.
You like stats, right?
Yeah, let's hear this.
Lu Aldang played 38 minutes last evening, 12 points and 9 rebounds. The last time he played 38 minutes or more in a game, May 13th of 2016, in a playoff game for Miami against the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah,
the techie loves Lu Aldang.
It's been a while.
Lu Aldang, though.
I mean, he's fresh. He hasn't played in like 3 years.
Yeah, when I was looking at his game logs, because I watched the game, but I didn't realize. I knew he was playing a fair amount.
Yeah.
But until I looked at the box score, I'm like, damn, 38 minutes for Lu Aldang. Holy cow.
Yeah, that's a Thibs workload for a player.
When you look at the game logs for Lu Aldang, I mean, zero, zero, zero. Over the last couple of years, so many zeros and did not play.
Yes.
When he was with the Heat, they played two playoff series, one against Charlotte, one against Toronto. They lost to Toronto. Main man played 41 minutes in the penultimate game in that series against the Raptors. Isn't that exciting?
I mean, think of when he was initially on the Bulls, and those were really good Bulls teams, they would obviously being the coach, he was, I think he led the league in minutes played like three or four different times.
Holy cow.
And then when he kind of broke down in his early 30s, he was another one you throw onto the pile of, did Thibs run this guy into the ground? But maybe all these guys from the old Thibs Bulls teams just need to take like literally 3 years off and then just come back at 35, which I guess in some ways Derrick Rose kind of did that because of other injuries. He was out for, you know, a couple seasons basically and came back. Cause, I mean, he played well last night too. If Covington's not going to be back, they got no shot to do anything.
Yeah.
But if they can get Teague back,
starting
Rose
to come around
back,
a little bit, aren't you?
Well,
yes, you are.
Trying to be
only four games back.
I'm trying to be optimistic because I know I'm not optimistic on the twin side of things these days.
Yeah. So it's a puncher's chance, as we have established the last couple of weeks. We now have seen the Clippers. You and I watch. You know, we watch a lot, so we've seen the Clippers before.
Yeah.
Clippers bit is boring, specifically without Tobias Harris.
Yep.
Gallinari is going great guns for the most part right now. He always gets hurt at the worst time. You got your guy Lou Williams is unbelievable.
Yes.
From a scoring standpoint, they're catchable, they're beatable. Sacramento's in the eight. Let's see how they handle Prosperity with all those kids. Dallas, after the rookie of the year, I think is a little dicey. And the Lakers are super topsy-turvy. I mean, that the Lakers are an enigmatic team right now.
Yeah, and also two or three other teams that a month ago were also in that mix have completely dropped off the face. You know, Memphis and New Orleans, no longer even in the mix at all. So yeah, it opens the door a little bit. I still ultimately...
If you're healthy.
Right.
Well, see, that was the bit. I mean, it's not full strength, but you get Rose, kind of the lifeblood to this team.
Yes.
I mean, it starts and stops with beloved Cat, but D. Rose is the lifeblood of this team. You see what happens. Teague with that super sweet teardrop shot from in the key, that helps. And after the All-Star break, assuming they get Covington back, who knows? Maybe they can win some games.
You're at least in a position where you make a run, you're in it. I just, like, the injury thing is Covington is the biggest key, and he's missed a long time. And I think, you know, there's still no clear timetable when he's coming back.
Yeah.
But the other stuff, like Rose and not only did they have injuries, but they kept like pairing them up. So like 3 point guards would be out at the same time.
Yeah.
And then you'd have two wings out at the same time.
I think Covington's a week and a half.
I mean, that'd be great. I would, if he's back in a week and a half, and if Rose and Teague can stay at least fairly healthy, you're at least a team that should be 500 or better down the stretch.
Right.
And because of all the stuff we were just talking about in the 7, 8, 9, 10 slots of the West, you might only have to be like 5 games above 500 down the stretch to sneak into that spot. But I still think, and I've been saying this all year, and I haven't been totally right because LeBron got hurt, but if LeBron stays healthy, I think the Lakers will easily make the playoffs.
We'll see.
Which
we'll see. They're
They haven't looked great. Don't get me wrong.
Enigmatic team, and their defense is absolutely horrible. Hey, Techie in studio. Well, getting Covington back with Teague and Rose for a large patch of games, if it works that way, it kind of gives you a sneaky barometer into how Ryan Saunders can handle this team. Now, my guys in the cornfields, we recognize Saunders is minus 260 to become the full-time head coach next season, no matter who is playing. We will lay it at minus 260.
Okay.
You can have every other human in the world at plus 210. Ooh. We will lay it at minus 260. Speaking of Ryan, he earned his first technical foul last night.
Yeah.
I wonder, with Ryan getting his first tee last night at age 32, I wonder if the ref giggled like he was being yelled at by his son.
I'm trying to think about Flip. Like, Flip would occasionally go off on the refs.
Flip would throw his sport coat.
Yeah, he would like explode once in a while. But I feel like, generally speaking, the refs kind of let him talk a little bit.
Yeah,
particularly late in his tenure.
I'm
like,
not the kid.
No, he doesn't.
No, you don't say that to me, kid.
Yeah, that is funny. Like, I wonder what he said. Like, if the ref was finally just turned to him and was like, you know what, I'm gonna give you one just so you can say you had one.
Does Derrick Rose amaze you as much as me? His drive, his moves, his cunning, his guile, his tenacity. He absolutely personifies the anti-Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought he would be this good. I mean, watching him with the Knicks, watching him that short stint he had in Cleveland, and even at the end of his Chicago days, like, I thought there was a long enough stretch there where he was still a useful player, but we never saw this, you know, explosiveness, ability to get to the basket. And it's amazing that, you know, 5 years later or 7 years later, whatever it is, he's not, you know, prime Derrick Rose, obviously, because that guy was unbelievable. That guy could get to the basket whenever he wanted and had such like amazing athleticism. But this is certainly a different version than we've seen for like 5 years. And that's the interesting part to me is, like you mentioned, Covington is a key barometer to see where the team is at. And if you can start to judge Ryan Saunders, you need all the pieces in place to see the job he'll actually be able to do. The tricky thing with Rose is that, like, he's probably played himself out of the Wolves' plans. Like, I don't really see any way that he's not going to get at least a decent 1 or 2 year contract as a free agent. And I mean, he's making pennies on the dollar right now for the Wolves. I mean, that's worked out well for both of them, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's why, like, at the trade deadline, I was a little bit surprised that there wasn't any traction whatsoever.
He was hurt.
But you can trade an injured player. I mean, he's back now. So a team could have traded. I mean, Porzingis just got traded. He's out for the whole season. But I was surprised that there was no traction. And I think that probably says, A, he's not valued as an impact guy, so nobody was going to, you know, light up an offer for them, give him first-round picks or anything.
Yep.
And they still think they have an outside shot at the playoffs, which we just talked about. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if he just said to him, look, it's going well here. I came here because of Thibodeau. He's gone, but things are going well. I'm healthy.
Yeah.
I like playing here. And they just said, you know what? We'll ride this out. You can assess your whole situation as a free agent in the offseason.
Yeah, I think Tyus Jones is a restricted free agent after this season.
I think that's right.
It's not team or player option. It's at $3 million and change. So I wonder how that factors into the situation. Teague has a player option for 19.
I'm assuming Teague will pick that option up.
Oh, you think?
I mean, I think he
could, $19 million.
He could get a decent but he's not going to get $19 million a year. So I'm assuming, unless he just despises everyone involved in the organization.
Yeah, my guys in the cornfields makes it minus 360.
Yeah,
he takes the 19 that is here.
That's about right.
So then you got Derek, and then you got Tyus. And Jared Bayless, too, and we'll see what happens there.
Right.
But I wonder what happens with Tyus this offseason.
I mean, if you assume you can't retain Rose just because he's going to go and get $10 million a year somewhere or whatever, and I don't think they'll literally be able to match that just because where their cap situation's at.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, if you have Teague opting back in at $19 million and he's your 32-minute-a-game guy, then you have Tyus in the backup role, which he's been filling. I think you'd be all right with that.
Covenant cleanup.
Uh-oh.
What do we have here?
Covenant cleanup.
Provided by? Right. What happened?
I believe it was Derrick Rose that was charged with the technical foul.
You believe it was or you know it was?
Oh, no.
According to the play-by-play in the game log, it wasn't.
Well, that's not nearly as fun.
D. Rose.
And that messes up my one-liner.
Because yeah. D. Rose, I think Saunders was chasing the ref up the court trying to basically try to initiate it, I suppose. But Rose was charged with the technical foul.
That's not as fun. I don't like that version of reality.
Rose told Marnie the offense goes through Cat and they play off Cat. That was part of the post-game interview with Boondocks, something you never would have heard with Thibodeau as the head coach.
Yeah.
Hey, the offense runs through Cat and we just play off him.
And he's been legit. I mean, for his part, he has stepped up. He's taken more shots. He's taken more responsibility. They're running it like D-Rose said. Like he's they're drawing double teams off him and passing. They still don't have great shooters or anything, so it's not as effective. But, I mean, think about when they fired Thibodeau and they traded Jimmy Butler. It, you know, obviously a bad situation all around, but one of the potential bright spots is, well, we're going to get to see what happens here when Cat's got the ball in his hands, when he's the focus of the offense. And I think, you know, not that he's immune from criticism at this point, but I think offensively, he's been spectacular post-Butler.
Oh, he's blocking about 1.5 a game, too.
Yeah, and defensively, I think I'm not going to say he's a defensive player of the year candidate or anything, but he's so improved.
He's so engaged.
From where he was last year or especially 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's engaged. The only thing now is the fouls, which are just so...
It's disease.
Yeah, it just... Everything goes pear-shaped when he does that. And like last night, I think he checked in, immediately got... I think it was the fifth foul, I want to say, late.
Jesus.
And he sat back down, and it's like you want to say to him, like, for the first quarter... Just relax, but he, for whatever reason, and in some contexts, the guy who plays with that much energy and can't relax is a good thing, but he just doesn't seem to recognize what will get called a foul for him. And whether it's maybe he's somewhat awkward defensively or he's slightly out of position on some stuff, so he ends up having to reach, but the refs have established at this point, you're doing stuff on a regular basis that we're going to call a foul, and I think we've seen him be great offensively post-Butler. We've seen him be much improved defensively. And the last remaining thing here down the stretch is you got to be on the court for 34, 35 minutes a game. And the only way to do that is to stop having three fouls at halftime every game.
Techie, in closing, a topic for me. Dario Saric got the start last night, played very well after a wobbly start.
Yeah.
Got a couple of quick fouls, got beat on defense pretty badly, then had some functioning yankability, got pulled out of the game. But he finished with like 19-8. What's interesting about this is it was a couple of weeks ago, yours truly at Johnny Athletic in studio, and we were talking about Dario Saric, a player who in the playoffs last year against Boston averaged 17 points and change a game, playing big minutes in high-leverage spots, and he looked really good. So, like, we make this trade, and I'm super excited about Saric.
Yeah.
Crickets for, like, 3-4 weeks. Johnny Athletic, obviously off intel, said... He's markedly more comfortable starting, and it actually is a thing with Dario Saric. Well, he started last night, and after the wobbly start, I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he just brings a completely different dimension than Taj Gibson's, who I like Taj Gibson a lot. And it sounds like Gibson said, I'll come off the bench, whatever. But I think, Dario and Covington, if they're healthy, whether they're able to make a legit run for the eighth spot or not, regardless of how the team plays down the stretch, those two guys, plus Cat, plus maybe Ryan Saunders, to evaluate that core with Saunders, because that's what you're going to go into the offseason knowing you have, is if Saunders is truly, like you said, minus 260 to get that gig or to keep that gig, Cat's not going anywhere. You're building everything around Cat.
Yep.
Covington and Dario are the two sort of building block pieces alongside Cat that you can do. So as many minutes as you can get that trio together running offense and defense that Saunders wants them to run is huge. Whether they get into the playoffs or not, I think you'll be able to at least evaluate their needs or sort of their baseline level of competency entering the offseason, because they're going to have a lot of moving parts beyond that, beginning with Saunders. I mean, they have to make the decision on him. But I think those are the three guys, the two Sixers guys and Cat, that you can at least write in pen on the sheet or on the roster or on your plans at the very beginning of the offseason.
If you got a mythical thousand, my guys in the cornfields want to know which way you would go. Would it be the mythical thousand on young Ryan at minus 260 to house the full-time job?
Man.
Or do you want the entire mythical 1,000 on the plus 210, which means when the decision is made, whichever way it goes, you would scoop $3,100 mythical dollars.
See, I thought it was like 50-50, but you coming out so strong there makes me think you have a pretty good sense of what will actually go on.
A lot goes into my guys in the cornfield playing lines.
So I know you're not just spitting out numbers like that, so I guess I would have to ride along with that.
-260.
-260, which if you hadn't said that, I'd have put it at 50-50.
You, my friend, are a scholar, a gentleman, and a connoisseur of quality Manischewitz. For your contribution, we thank you.
Please wish me luck getting back to Northeast. See you next week, PA.
Back after this.
You're listening to PA.
That boy Cole, for real.
On the Fan.
-30 minutes from now, the new 925 to noon feature called 18 for pick 18 for the 18th pick. That is unveiled with a couple of names for today. It will be a daily Minnesota Vikings draft-related feature up to our combine trip, which is 2 weeks from Thursday. Paul Charchian, Ben Lieber, yours truly, and the producer. We will be adjacent to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, providing, hopefully, former Vikings connections who now work around the National Football League, the likes of Pat Shermer, Norv Turner, Daryl Bevel, Heath Farwell, maybe John DeFilippo, and so on. We do those interviews. We have the likes of Adam Schefter, who joins us yearly to talk about the NFL and the upcoming draft and free agency. So 9 to noon has 18 for 18 debuting today, 30 minutes from now. We think you will enjoy it if you enjoy Vikings offseason conversation. First, news do nizzle.
News du Nord.
Brought to you by Canterbury's Card Casino. Poker, blackjack, table games all year round. Live racing will kick off in the spring, of course. All looking forward to that with the snowy roadways. Get to CanterburyPark.com for all necessary details.
Number one.
We did hit on the Wolves with Gleeman last segment. Only thing to note here from my standpoint is Dario Saric over his last four games, nearly 17 points a game, 6.5 rebounds. He's shooting 60% from the floor, 63% from deep, PA. Dario Saric on a mildly influential run. But I do want to hit this in other NBA news. History made by way of Russell Westbrook.
A spectacular history-making night at Chesapeake Arena on the heels of their largest ever comeback win in Houston Saturday. Tonight, the Thunder dazzle the Blazers without Jeremy Grant and Dennis Schroeder, two of their top six players. Westbrook and George see to that.
Yeah, Paul George, first of all, is basically putting up high 30s, low 40s every single game.
Yeah, he's the NBA's MVP for my money.
And they won.
And if you were to lay it out via my guys in the cornfields, Harden would be favored. Giannis Antetokounmpo would be the second choice. George would be the third choice. Kawhi Leonard probably would be the fourth choice. Yours truly is at 6-1 in Kevin Gorg's in your spotty-like fashion. My guys in the cornfields would put the money on Paul George, who I think he had 8 threes last night. His rebounding along with his assists, he had 47. He either leads or is right there atop the NBA in steals. And with the amount of shots he takes, his field goal percentage is pretty good. Paul George is the NBA's MVP.
And Russell Westbrook, his teammate, set a new NBA record last night, PA. He surpassed the record that Wilt Chamberlain set in 1968 with 9 consecutive triple-doubles. Last night was Russell Westbrook's 10th.
Are you kidding me?
Consecutive triple
and
double.
Two games ago, he had a quadruple double with points, assists, rebounds, and he had 10 turnovers. So it's the first quadruple double I've seen in like forever. So yeah, Russell. Russell's shooting, for my money, it's gotten better of late. It's leaving a little to be desired, and I don't exactly know why. His facilitating is the best in the NBA. He's the best rebounding guard in the NBA. He's unbelievably cold-blooded off the dribble these days. But most importantly for Russell, if this team is looking to have even a puncher's chance of usurping the Golden State Warriors, he's putting Paul George in a position to become the NBA's MVP. Steven Adams is one of my favorite centers in the game. And this OKC team, it's cohesive. It is a cohesive, solidified bit, which is cool.
They've won 11 of their last 12. They're currently third in the Western Conference.
Number two.
You had Russo Radio on earlier today. Of course, the Minnesota Wild hosting the Philadelphia Flyers at Xcel Energy Center. 6:45 pregame and puck drop shortly after 7 p.m. where you're home for Wild Hockey. So guess what? You get to listen to it here.
You're not watching or listening, right?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, of course I'd be watching.
Well, why would you? Aren't you a soothsayer? I mean, the soothsayers are like, why follow this team? If they make the playoffs, they're a cinch to lose in the first round because the soothsayers can tell the future. They know what's coming down the road, right?
That is a very good point. The Flyers on the back end of a back-to-back. They hosted the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. And just because I like how Mike Lang, voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, calls games, I want to listen to a highlight. So let's do that.
Rosby on the win, on the draw, outside of the blue line. Pump back into the Flyers' zone, far corner. Gensel comes up with it. Goes a wraparound try. He scores. Jake Gensel on the wraparound on Carter Hart, and the Penguins take a 3-0 lead. And Carter Hart just lost his liquor license.
Oh, Jake and Bake, baby.
Alex.
105.9 The Fox. That Gensel goal made it 3-0 Penguins. The Penguins win and roll 4-1 the final. As we heard from Russo, probably no Carter Hart this evening, who has really been a godsend and a big part of this 9-of-10 stretch in terms of victories that the Philadelphia Flyers have been on. You know how they started?
I believe it's 9-of-11. I think Russo with a Covenant cleanup.
9-of-11, including last night.
Yeah, 9-1-1
in
the last 11.
And this positive stretch for a team that was fishing at the bottom of the Eastern Conference barrel started with that victory at Philly against the Minnesota Wild.
Their backup goaltender, Sam Newton, from Spearfish, South Dakota, one of the worst backup goaltenders in the NHL. We should be able to take advantage of young Samuel this evening.
Get him early and often, and as you were talking with Russo, you can podcast the entire segment, KFAN.com, later this morning / today. Here's what you said. Here's what he said when you asked him which great players or good players of ours need to play better and do so right now.
Zucker and Granlund. I mean, you know, both Eric Staal, those three have been major disappointments the last month. And they've got to start scoring. They've got to start producing. A lot of Granlund's production is down because Zucker and Staal are not putting pucks in the net. So those three, conversely, I really love the way that guys like Cunning and Ericssonek have been playing when they've been up here the last little bit. We're starting to see piece of the future, and that if they get significant ice time, they can be contributors to the team. But there are, you know, this team, the reason why they're losing and the reason why they've been a disappointment is that pretty much only Zach Parise of their top nine has had a consistently really strong season. We've seen Coyle play much, much better here in the second half. Since the middle of December, Zach's been their most consistent forward. But you look up and down their lineup, and there's been a lot of mediocre seasons from a lot of guys, and this is why they have been a mediocre team this season.
The Flyers are using a backup goalie. They have at least two blue liners who are not great skaters. They are on a back-to-back, so that means Jason Zucker scores two goals this evening.
Wow. What a great hockey mind.
The speed of Zucker will be very prevalent this evening against those clompers on the blue line for the Philly Flyers. Jason Zucker scores two times this evening. Don't at me.
I love it.
Number three.
The news in the football world yesterday, probably the B topic, but we will start with it. Kyler Murray is choosing the NFLPA. He's officially a combine participant.
Yeah.
He has hired a football agent. Oddly enough, that agent also represents Cliff Kingsbury.
Really?
To adding the dynamic of being that Kingsbury once said he would take Kyler Murray first overall if he had said pick.
Yeah.
Guess what? He's got that pick. Mm-hmm. He's also got Josh Rosen, so big decisions to make there. But ultimately, he told the Athletics, thanks, but no thanks. Oakland A's no longer on the have to foot the bill of that $5 million bonus that was to be sent the way of Kyler Murray.
$5 million, John.
That $5 million, John, yes.
Yeah, the bonus.
The bonus. And so he'll be participating in the combine. One thing that Ian Rappaport actually brought up that is kind of interesting is the dynamic into the draft. You know, forget the melodrama with the Kingsbury bit, but knowing that he has Oakland Athletics on the back burner.
Yeah.
And as you get closer to the draft, if XYZ team, even if it's a top 10, top 15 pick, say, you know, the Washington Redskins, We're very interested in drafting you.
Yeah.
And Kyler Murray can say, well, to be honest with you, I don't really want to play
what
for the Redskins.
And Eli Manning on it?
And if you draft me, I might have to consider playing baseball.
Whatever.
Well, hey, he told the Athletics at one point that he was definitely playing baseball, and now he's in the combine.
I think he got $5 million. He got $5 million at like age 18 to be part of the athletic system.
And so he's got to give that back. And if he's a first-round pick, I mean, he's going to make anywhere from $7 to $15 million over the course of that rookie contract, front end to back end. Exactly, at least.
Yeah.
So at one point, though, he said, I'm definitely playing baseball.
Yeah.
And now he's definitely playing football. So you can't put anything out of the realm of possibility of Kyler Murray leveraging what is an advantage in his court in terms of, I don't want to play for the Tennessee Titans and sit behind Marcus Mariota for 6 years. So I'm going to go play baseball. He could use that.
Remember that that Kyler Murray talker I told you before the show I want to do tomorrow?
Yeah.
I still want to execute it. It involves the Vikings, but it also now very much involves what you just said.
Yeah.
So that they say I can't tease and that I need to do a better job of teasing segment to segment. I'm playing so fast right now because I was on time for work this morning. I'm teasing a segment tomorrow involving a rookie quarterback and the Minnesota Vikings. Stay tuned.
And the key to all of that is that you set your clock ahead, actually, to the Eastern time zone.
I think I didn't.
And so you were able to get here in a timely fashion this morning.
Number four.
The atopic news in the football world from yesterday is that the Cleveland Browns are signing running back Kareem Hunt. He's on the shelf, of course, the NFL investigating two other incidents that became known after a TMZ video shows him kicking a woman in a hotel elevator lobby.
Yeah.
And that ended his 2018 season. He was put on the exempt list. The Chiefs later cut him roughly a week later. John Dorsey is the factor in all of this. John Dorsey, who runs the Browns now, ran the Chiefs when they identified Kareem Hunt as a talent that they wanted to draft out of the University of Toledo.
Yep.
And so, Hunt is from the Cleveland area. A lot of factors involved there. Of course, while those investigations ensue, Kareem is not able to do anything team-related. He's not officially part of the roster.
Yep.
It has been told that, or reported, I should say, that the investigation into these other incidents, including a Kansas City bar, I believe a resort area near Cleveland, should be wrapped up by the beginning of free agency. So there should be some clarity to that. But Kareem Hunt, at least for now, John Dorsey taking a flyer on a guy that he drafted a couple of years ago.
Free agency is 1 month from tomorrow. It is March 13th, and we do fully expect everything to come to a conclusion before then. 9 to noon, were we doing the radio show in Cleveland or in Columbus today? We undoubtedly would be dedicating many segments to Rube reaction from a Browns fan standpoint on what you think about your favorite team making a move like this. There would be a lot of things discussed. There would be guests, and it would be stuff like that. The 9 to noon stance, speaking for both of us, obviously, we feel a man hitting a woman, whether it is caught on video or not, is repulsive. And obviously, it's an egregious offense, one for which somebody should have to pay a hefty price. Other side of it is, We are not asking these individuals to babysit our kids or like watch our families, or we don't hang out with them. We are pulling for our favorite team to do the best it can. So you can cast judgment all you want. We are not of the judgmental variety. So I'm curious to see what happens not only with this, but what the reaction of Browns fans will be subsequently. My guess is eventually, if it's handled the right way, they will come around to the fact that Kareem is incredibly good at what he does professionally, and a person's personal life honestly has nothing to do with the lives of the fan base. They can formulate opinions, and they can choose to not buy tickets, watch, or listen to games. That's completely up to them. But the talent and the equity with the man who brought him into the league, John Dorsey, It's trumping what everybody's opinion is of Kareem Hunt right now. 10:55, some state of Minnesota college hockey love around the corner. Then after that, 18 for 18 on the Minnesota Vikings and the upcoming offseason. 10:55, News du Nord, Eric Nordquist, Paul Allen, Brian Heating and Cooling Studios. This is 9:25 to noon.
to PA.
Happy for the relationships and experiences, along with the joys of meeting superstars like PA, you know, K-Fan.
On the Fan.
Valentine's Day, it's almost here, everybody. So get to the contest page. Go to KFAN.com. I know the Power Trip's been giving them away, but these are sweet. You get a shot to win a Diamond Drops of Light pendant. A Diamond Drops of Light pendant and a Love Your Melon beanie. It's thanks to Wedding Day Diamonds. So just get to KFAN.com, check out the contest page, and register for that today.
An opportunity in this spot to talk about the tail-spinning Kansas Jayhawks basketball program. And just honestly how bad it is right now.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll save that for later in the week. Another opportunity at this moment to rhapsodize one of the great cities in the country, Spearfish, South Dakota, and the hidden jewel it is from a vacationing standpoint. But we may save that for later in the week because this is 9 to Noon's opportunity to celebrate Minnesota's college hockey. And when you think college hockey in this state, at least for yours truly, first thing that comes to mind is...
Thank you, St. Cloud!
We do not follow college hockey closely. 9 to Noon does not follow college hockey closely. If Mick Tockett and Jim Rich are calling a Huskies game on like Channel 999 on Comcast or Fox Sports North, I do my best to watch as much as I can. Obviously, big Mick Tockett guy, Pat Micheletti's on the mural, and Jim Rich is fantastic at play-by-play, and I enjoy listening to those two. Golden Gophers hockey, if it's on and we aren't doing much, then we may watch some of it. With the Duluth Bulldogs, don't get a chance to see much of that. We have the Fankato team, coached by Mr. Hastings. We pull for that team from afar. And we have the super special Bemidji State Beavers. So some teams that make up the college hockey scene in the state of hockey. We enjoy hockey. We just put so much time into the pros. There honestly is not enough time, at least for me, to follow all the teams in the state. So given all the pro sports teams in Minnesota, currently are vibe free. Maybe 9 to Noon needs to pull for a college hockey team, a Minnesota college hockey team, to win the national title. And when I say pull for it, it doesn't mean out of the 45 segments a week, you dedicate half the week to the Bemidji State Beavers, a team that undoubtedly will need to win the WCHA to even have a chip, chair, and chance at college hockey immortality. But we still can pull for a Minnesota-based college hockey team to win at the highest level, A, because it's our state, B, because it's our ice, and C, because it's nothing but good times for those who care about those programs. But see, the tricky thing for 9 to Noon, specifically given the equity during the first half of my KFAN-related career, you know, I've done this show by myself since 2009. Before that, it was a two-man show called PA and Dubé. The co-host, biggest Golden Gophers college hockey fan you ever would meet. Such a big fan that when we were at XL Energy Center and the team was set to House of Crown and they were playing Maine, he would lean over a railing as the Maine band was coming in and call them cheaters. Cheaters, 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 cheaters. So the radio show absolutely had a completely different college hockey feel then with Jordan Leopold and Johnny Pohl and Don Lucia and Puffy and Fire Helmet Guy and Beer Song and Jared Klein and Ryan Cardinal and shows at Tav on the Ave. Definitely a different feel than it has now. I can't do it justice the way it was done 98 through 2008. But still, given neither one of us grew up rooting for that squad, nor did we attend the university, yes, it's great for Bob Motzko, Ryan Cardinal, Johnny the Mouse Mickelson, and everybody who truly loves that team. Yes, it would be great. And we're the flagship for Gophers hockey, so that would be fat. It would be great if that team could get to the Frozen Four and win the national championship.
No doubt.
And there would be a lot of attention paid to that program if it does make the NCAA tournament, more than we pay now. But overall, I mean, honestly, with the producer, Nordo, and yours truly, not only did we not grow up rooting for that squad or attend that university, we're both college dropouts.
Yeah.
The Gophers were swept at Pennsylvania State University. So that fan base has to be irate. It with where this team is located in the pairwise, it absolutely looks like Mouse's team has to win the Big Ten Conference Tournament to get to the NCAA tournament.
Not looks. That I mean, that's their only route.
That's a bet.
28th in the pairwise at this stage. That's hideous.
It's a bet. So will 9 to noon be rooting for the Golden Gophers to win the Big Ten tournament?
Thank you, Minneapolis!
Will 9 to noon watch the Golden Gophers play in the Big Ten tournament?
Thank you, Minneapolis!
Could 9 to noon care less about any other team in the Big Ten? The answer to that is no.
Definitely not.
So, yes, we want a team in our family, specifically a team that has developed a lot of equity during the 20-year history of this radio show, at least the part that's included me. Yes. We want you to go to the NCAA tournament.
Want you to win it all.
We want Mouse and Wildfire, his best friend, which is a bicycle, we want them to be happy.
Yeah. Yes,
so we're in, okay? We're in on that. But I'm speaking for you here.
Okay.
But with the way I feel, it's with all due respect to the history of this radio show, are we completely married to the Golden Gophers hockey team absolutely being our favorite team in the state?
I can't say that I am at this stage.
I'm not either. Is it the one, like if I'm thinking about college hockey and moving the meter, that team probably would move the meter most, but you know, as the vibeless nature that we talked about last week of all the pro sports teams, not super positive vibes, not super negative vibes. We're just kind of vibeless right now.
Yeah.
I think this team personifies that. I mean, but I might be wrong. There may be amazingly negative vibes with this team. I don't think there should be, given it's a first-year head coach. You look at the players. The current head coach recruited to St. Cloud State University. A fair amount of those players are contributing to that team being number one in the country. So I'm a Don Lucia guy. I've known him and his family for basically every day of every year I've worked at AM 1130 or FM 100.3 KFAN. So, yes, I and we pull for that program. But if St. Cloud State went on a national championship run, thank you, St. Cloud. Good luck, Huskies.
We'd ride that vibe.
Likewise for the Duluth Bulldogs, Mankato Mavericks, or your beloved Bemidji State Beavers.
Yeah.
Because we, 9 to noon, we want positivity from a sports standpoint for the state of Minnesota.
Indeed.
And it involves all the pro sports teams, the Division I college football team, the Division I college basketball team, and the college hockey teams based in this state. And also, off the recent steam that was emailed to me this morning involving 740 The Fan in Fargo-Moorhead, and the Mike McFeely vast and ever-expanding radio network.
Thank you, Fargo!
Never been a bigger North Dakota State University Bison fan.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your trip to the White House. I think that takes place today.
Does that transition us into maybe rooting for, we jump up to Grand Forks and we root for North Dakota? Are we that bold?
Got to wait for the Grand Forks newspaper to provide something like Mike McFeely provided in the Fargo newspaper.
That's a good point.
Well, hey, who knows? Maybe tomorrow, a Grand Forks whistle stop.
The Grand Forks Herald.
Grand Forks Herald.
Your move, Grand Forks Herald.
Your move. Mike McFeely made a bold move.
He stepped up big time.
Don't be left in the wake of a keen turn of journalistic speed. Okay, 9 to noon recognizes what is transpiring within the Fargo-Moorhead market involving this radio time slot. And for that, we are thankful. That's why multiple times this radio show you have heard.
Thank you, Fargo!
So, but that's North Dakota. So, with these Minnesota-based college hockey teams, St. Cloud State obviously is fantastic. First-year coach Brett Larson, the Paling brothers from Lakeville play on the same line. Now, for diehard college hockey fans, for Ryan Cardinal, Fire Helmet Guy, Jared Klein, and Beersong, they all know this, okay? But the majority of the audience probably does not know a lot of this. So this is getting you up to speed in case one of these college hockey teams goes on such an influential run, it wins a national title. Because 9 to noon is going to be all over whichever team gets to the Frozen Four and or wins a national title. Why? Because we are vibeless. We are vibeless and we are in search of positive, happy Minnesota sports-related vibes. Paling brothers from Lakeville, same line, cutest ever. They beat Colorado College 5-4 in overtime Saturday night in the Granite City when stud forward Patrick Newell won it. Newell had 4 points in the game. Seems like it would be a disappointment if the Huskies were not in the Frozen Four and 9 to noon is guessing St. Cloud State University is favored to win a national championship.
Thank you, St. Cloud.
Bruce Siski, don't at me. Finn's guy, Dan Myers, don't at me. Duluth Bulldogs, fourth in the pairwise. Scott Sandlin, 19th year coaching the Dogs. Staylock played there. Frozen Four, 2016 and 17. National champions last season. This program is the bomb. Very easy to get behind. Justin Richards, you familiar with him?
No.
Justin Richards leads the Bulldogs in points with 25.
Ooh.
He's an Ohio native. Justin Richards' father is Todd Richards, former Wild head coach.
Whoa!
We can get behind that.
Okay.
We can especially get behind it when I have a thank you, Duluth, on the button bar, which we currently don't have.
Uh-oh.
Go Siski. It's the defending national champion in a vibeless state trying to make memories. We can get behind that. Mankato Mavericks, sixth in the pairwise. They just beat Michigan Tech in Houghton 3-2.
Yeah.
Their goalie, Dryden McKay,
mm-hmm,
has a goals against average of 1.86 and a save percentage of .924. Seems like a stone wall from afar. Flyers, you can have Carter Hart. We in Fankato will take Dryden McKay, who is fast emerging into the next version of Carter Hart.
What about Jack McNeely, who played with the Paling brothers in Lakeville?
Jack McNeely wrote that very complimentary 9 to noon story in the Inn Forum in Fargo.
What about Ian Scheid with 4 goals, 15 assists, 19 points? He's a +9 for the Mavericks. He's from Coon Rapids.
It starts and stops with Dryden McKay.
Yes, it does.
Okay, kind of like a quarterback in the National Football League. If you don't have the right goalie, you're not going to make any memories.
You got no chance.
Dryden McKay, I have all your albums. I was there in Mankato when you opened for Bobby Womack and covered Harry Hippie. Maybe they are a team nobody wants to play. The Mankato Mavericks. Thank you, Mankato!
They still haven't won a playoff game in D1. Feeling like this year's the year for Mav fam.
Bemidji State.
All the Beavers.
34th in the pairwise, though.
Well, it's going to be a tough route.
14-12-4, Beavers, though. They'd need to win the WCHA tournament just to beat the to make the NCAA tournament. And to do that, I can't necessarily say I'm pulling for that. With all due respect to KBUN, KBUN, here's why. 20-year friend Grant Patalny coaches Northern Michigan in the WCHA, and family friend Jake Jackson from Tartan High School plays for Michigan Tech. This is a very, very tricky figure for yours truly. because we want all the Minnesota-based college hockey teams to be in the NCAA tournament. Why? As Aaron Sickman says, it's our ice. This team is 34th in the pairwise, the Beavers, though. Got to win that WCHA tournament, Beavers. Maybe the Beavers are a team nobody wants to play. Maybe the Mankato Mavericks are an incredibly underappreciated team. Maybe Duluth truly is the college hockey team in the state that should be favored to win the national crown. Or maybe Brett Larson has the St. Cloud State Huskies skating around like the 79 Golden Gophers. Maybe that's the case.
I mean, we got front runners, we have mid-range teams, we have underdogs, we have everything in the state of Minnesota.
We got a vibe.
Because it's the state of hockey.
The college hockey scene is giving us a vibe. Golden Gophers fans, Golden Gopher hockey fans, are hating this segment.
They don't like it.
Mouse's best friend, Wildfire, which is a bicycle, is probably crying grease right now. The basket on the front. The basket on the front of his face probably fell off.
Yeah, popped a tire.
Because St. Cloud State is number one in the country. Duluth Bulldogs fourth in the pairwise. Mankato sixth in the pairwise. The long play. The state of college hockey here is deep and fantastic. Gophers fans undoubtedly are hating this. Wonder what they feel about all this. Living those days of Leo and Johnny Paul are way in the past. St. Cloud State is the now.
Let's get it up with that national cash contest. Put a grand in your hand like Bob and Blaine or Ben and Andover. Rube's all over the metro and fan listening area winning $1,000 simply by listening to the fan and entering the keyword. This hour's keyword is pizza. Text pizza to 200-200. That's pizza to 200-200. Put a grand in your hand with the national cash contest. Text and data rates do apply.
You're listening to PA.
Paul Howard is the greatest play-by-play man in the National Football League, and it's not even close. You're lucky to have him. Never let him go. Pay him whatever he wants and keep him forever.
On the Fan.
Join fellow animal lovers and their dogs at Animal Humane Society's Whisker World Gala. It's February 16th. It's at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Enjoy cocktails, a seated dinner, fundraising activities, and more. Learn about this very special evening at animalhumanesociety.org/whiskerworld.
Long anticipated, should have started it last week, to have 18 radio show days up to the scouting combine, but due to functioning clip ability, we did not. So we are beginning it today, and there will be multiple days. We will include at least two players from a speculation standpoint up to the 2019 scouting combine in Indianapolis. 9 to noon will be there 2 weeks from Friday. Courtesy of Whiting Clinic, LASIK, and Cataract. We will be doing radio shows Thursday and Friday from Indianapolis. And there, we definitely will dive into 18/18.
Leading you up to the 2019 NFL Combine, 9 to noon takes 18 looks at Pick 18.
You're right. As I originally wrote this, I wrote, quote, 3 weeks from today, we'll be doing our first combine show. Well, it's a bit shorter than that, but that's okay. Clipability or otherwise, the key is about making sure we get the right selection. So whether it's daily, it's periodically, we're in this familiar role once again, PA, to dagger the right answers for a first-round Vikings draft pick.
Yeah.
Now, we've done sneak peek at three technique. I mean, picture a situation where it comes in and it says, Minnesota Vikings select with the 18th pick in the 2019 NFL draft, Devin Bush, linebacker, Michigan.
Oh, my gosh.
Won't be a popular selection.
Weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Might be the right selection. Won't be a popular selection within the fan base, though.
So whether it's sneak peek at three technique, it's the pickle at nickel, which I think we may have fixed with Mackenzie Alexander, etc. Yep. We'll see that.
Yeah.
We've gone back and forth, and we always come back around to reconstructing the O-line dream. Now, 9 to noon, we are not in the business of mock drafting, because it's exhausting. And we've seen many of out there. You know, Vikings might get Jiggy at a different position at 18, whatever. Defensive tackle, maybe. But how would the fan base handle that? And I have a good feeling. Now, whether Anthony Barr's gone, if it makes sense, Sheldon's gone, it makes sense, whatever. The O-line at this particular moment, pre-draft, pre-free agency, is the consensus need. Now, PA, feel free to chime in and offer your elite opinions at any moment.
Well, the 9 to noon stance into this is the Minnesota Vikings, through the offseason, need a bevy of offensive linemen. And that number could be as high as 5.
Mm-hmm.
But they will be in search of, certainly not speaking for the team, offering up my 9:25 to noon opinion, they will be in search of at least 2 who can play now, and obviously need to be good. So that's the opinion into the 18/18.
Indeed. And it comes down to, okay, guard or tackle. We've heard rumblings. Hey, what about Riley Reiff moving into guard? How was Brian O'Neill in his rookie season? The scheme, the fit, athleticism, arm length. It's exhausting. All the measurables. How far into the weeds does 9 to noon want to go? Well, I ask you this simply enough. How do you measure the mean factor, PA? Because as we look at a guard or a tackle that will complement the Minnesota Moving Company into 2019, I want a kid that helps his grandmother across the street but won't help a D lineman off the turf.
Ow.
You know what I mean? A guy that run blocks until 2 seconds after the whistle.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak up in class, but he'll bark in your face on the field. That type of guy. A heart of gold while wearing brass knuckles.
Ow.
That's what I want. And over the last 10 drafts, PA, looking at this here, an average of 3 offensive linemen, 3.1 to be exact, were drafted, 30 guards and 1 center, I believe, were taken before the Vikings' current draft position at 18. So 17 or earlier, 30 guards or tackles and a center were taken prior to the Vikings' pick. So there are movements that we can make in terms of how we handle pick 18. Do they draft? Do they move up? All those sorts of things. Let's just stick at 18 for today.
Yeah.
Because unless the Vikings trade up to get to their guy, that means they're going to be looking at the third, the fourth, maybe fifth best O-lineman on the block. So where does that leave us? There are a handful of names, and I've seen their respective ranks jumbled all over the place. The first name I'm going to give you, you're going to have to wait. But let me describe this guy as my first of 18 looks at 18, PA.
Yeah.
A guy that I'm excited about. He's 6'4". He's a 338-pound junior, and he comes from the University of Oklahoma.
Okay.
Now, I have his arm lengths. I have all these various things, the physical nature, technique, footwork. Here's what I like. And I got this. It was a combination of 3 different sites that all noted this.
Yeah.
Competitive toughness.
Love it.
He's a complete mauler. Tries to finish every rep by putting his opponent in the ground.
Boom.
Physically and mentally dominated his opponents with exceptional hustle and tenacity.
Need it.
There's a certain level of mental processing that can only be gained from experience. This gentleman, despite being a junior, is still well ahead of the curve, despite just 1 year as a full-time starter. Majority of his twists flawlessly from handling those in the defensive side of things. Excellent awareness to devour late pressure. He stands to decipher second-level targets pre-snap. Unbelievable athlete with an exceptional frame for the position. A little bit sloppy on the weight side of things. Apparently needs to firm up. Kid's a chubby kid.
Come on.
He's just a little baby, PA.
Hardcore football.
But he's massive with outstanding foot quickness and agility.
The baby.
He checks all the boxes. And he, again, one of the toughest competitors on the field at any time. His name? Cody Ford.
I love him.
The key with Cody Ford, I like the idea here that Cody, with that size and height, they believe that he could stay at tackle.
Yep.
From a physicality standpoint, fills out, baby becomes a man.
Which means Reef is your left guard.
Cuts out of stone, or depending upon Mr. Dennison and or the coaching staff with the Minnesota Vikings,
yeah,
they say, Mr. Ford, with the 18th overall pick, we're taking you into our covenant. Maybe we move you to a guard. And so,
sneak peek at fresh meat.
An opportunity for position flexibility with one Cody Ford out of the University of Oklahoma.
So now in putting together the 18/18, 18 players for pick 18, which will come to a conclusion before 9 to noon heads to the combine.
Yes.
Cody Ford is the name?
Yes, he is. Junior out of Oklahoma.
And Mauling is the game?
Yes.
Do we have any intel or sneak peeks at fresh meat via, like, respected mocks as to whether this individual will be... I mean, is he potentially close to available at 18? I mean, you just made him sound like a combo between Joe Thomas and Walter Jones.
I always love that.
Well, I'm trying
one.
To get excited
so
here.
So, I mean, this sounds like top five terrorism.
Okay, here's the problem with the mocks.
Yeah.
Okay, there's an opinion. There's a guy whose opinions matter to 9 to Noon, or at least I should say are respected by 9 to Noon, correct?
Yeah.
His name is Matt Miller.
Oh, yeah.
At NFL Draft Scout, lead Bleacher Report guy.
Yeah.
You know, you type in Matt Miller, and the first thing that autofills afterwards is mock drafts, because people care what his opinions are.
Yeah.
He has them picking Devin Bush, linebacker Michigan, with the 18th pick. That is correct.
Not happening.
And so, when you look at all these mock drafts, I've seen Cody Ford taken 11th.
Okay.
I've seen him taken 27th. So the range on these offensive linemen, and as we get into the 18 looks at 18, you'll see why.
None of this matters.
Correct.
Well, no, you know why it doesn't matter? At 18, we're taking Kyler Murray.
I always love that boy.
You were supposed to tease that for tomorrow.
I'm teasing that segment for tomorrow. The Vikings and Kyler Murray. Don't leave home without it.
I've seen Cody Ford, as well as the name that I'll mention maybe in the final segment as well. I've seen these guys on the high end. I've seen them on the back end. Because for a lot of these guys, especially with these two juniors, you know, it's not like they got all the reps at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, these are highly touted guys from big programs that I'm going to put in front of you.
Hey, you're 18/18. In the next segment, is the guy an offensive lineman?
He is, yes.
Okay, then we'll pause. And we'll get more into to him, but also the difference in the eyes that are looking at these offensive linemen this year compared to some previous years. Because I think it plays into the 18 for pick number 18.
That's a very good point.
Eric Nordquist, producer, Paul Allen, Brian Heating and Cooling Studios, FM 100.3, KFAN. This is 925 to noon.
I think a good lesson to be learned from this is control your emotions immediately after the game and go back and look at the tape, okay, before you jump to conclusion.
On the Fan.
I can't wait until tomorrow, 'cause tomorrow might very well be too late. I can't wait until tomorrow, 'cause tomorrow could never come. I know it could end any minute, but I pray tomorrow comes, but it could be too late.
So what I meant was, and this undoubtedly is no guarantee that it works, you know, because if you, with the 18 players and or thoughts or suggestions for the 18th pick in the draft up to the 9 to noon, the 9 to noon scouting combine, you know, if offensive line is going to dominate the conversation, which clearly in the early stages of this new bit. It has, and it probably will. And if my guys in the cornfields were to lay odds on positions, the Vikings would select at 18. You know, even though you have offensive line, tight end, wide receiver, quarterback, running back, defensive line, linebackers, cornerback, safety, and specialist. So it would be a 10-horse race. In a 10-horse race, offensive line is favored. I mean, we're not saying minus 360 here or minus 450, but if I lay that thing out,
I mean, it's American Pharoah type favorite.
I can't say
one of the dirt in one of the Triple Crown races.
I can't say that. I mean, I mean American Pharoah type favoritism is below even money. Now, it's a 10-horse race. Not really. Okay, specialist, kicker or punter, dead. Safety at 18, dead. Corner at 18, can't say dead. Linebacker at 18, can't say dead. Defensive line at 18, can't say dead. I've already been told that this is one of the deepest edge rusher defensive line drafts, somebody whose opinion I greatly respect.
Yeah.
It's one of the, it's just a plethora of talented defensive line players, which means you can undoubtedly get one past round one and then have your genius defensive minded head coach work with him. Okay. So I don't make defensive line favored, but I can't in concrete fashion say no defensive line at 18.
No, there's this guy, and I mentioned to you prior to the show, Christian Wilkins out of Clemson. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of three technique, if we're going sneak peek at three technique,
yeah.
Christian Wilkins, what he put on tape at Clemson, I understand, right. You know, that is a defense that typically yields yeah. NFL talent in numbers.
No doubt.
But he was one of the better options on that defense of a good defense.
I'm not a fan. I don't care, with all due respect. I do not care how rich, deep, or game-changing the defensive line draft is through the first 18 picks. I want an offensive lineman.
Me too.
And if I don't take an offensive lineman, as I will share tomorrow, there's a separate idea that I think people should at least consider. Now, my take as of now, with the right to change it after I steal Ben Lieber's opinion, after I talk to Ben Lieber at the Combine and then go steamrolling up to the draft, my opinion as of now is at least two of your first three or three of your first three picks need to be on offense. And, you know, those Iowa tight ends, though we talked
about Noah Fant.
We talked about the Fant bit with Graham and when we were doing a sneak peek at next week for the Gophers or college football stuff during the season. I was told within the last 2 days the other guy's better, and I don't even know his name. And that the other guy, whatever his name is potentially going to be a better National Football League prospect. I'm not kidding you. There could be two Iowa tight ends taken in the first round. And I don't know what the guy's name is, but somebody just kept calling him the Iowa tight end. He's unbelievable.
Does TJ Hawkinson sound familiar?
No idea. But, I mean, when you mock it up 18/18, is he supposed to be a high pick?
Well, I'm not familiar with Hawkinson. Noah Fant's a first rounder
yeah.
in just about everything I've seen. Yeah.
Okay, so with that said, you know, the steam that you read about, and you really need to navigate your way through this stuff and just stick with the concrete 9 to noon subtle opinions that are shared up to the draft. Stick with those.
Yes.
Hashtag Team Stefanski. Just stick with those subtleties. And we'll all put this puzzle together as one. You know, there you read, will Everson Griffin be released? Will they restructure him? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
With Kyle Rudolph to try to find more cap money. Will there be a Kyle Rudolph restructuring coming? Now, Kyle is philanthropically sound and an incredibly nice guy. I'm not completely convinced if they want to restructure Kyle that he's just going to roll over and say yes. So consider that subtlety.
That might be a thing.
So now, as we're looking at all these spots, yes, my guys in the cornfields makes offensive line favored in the 10-horse race. Can't rule out tight end. Probably can, but can't completely. Absolutely can. Well, yeah, okay, it's a 5% or it's a 5%er or less. Wide receiver is a 0% chance. Wide receiver, specialist, and safety at 18, 0%ers for yours truly.
Okay, well, I mean, did you see that DK Metcalf kid? There was some pictures of him on Twitter yesterday, 6'4",
hey,
230, cut out of stone.
DK Metcalf can come with Eric and Terry Metcalf, and we're still not taking a safety at that spot. Quarterback at 18? It may be a 5%er. I can't rule it out. Running back, not happening. That's a 0%er.
That's a cuz nug right there.
Yeah, right. And the wide receiver bit is a 0%er.
I get you.
The Minnesota Vikings, unless they're picking in the top six, will never, ever, ever take a wide receiver as long as in the first round, as long as Mike Zimmer's the head coach. Mark my words. So that's a 0%er. Fullback, 0%er. Okay, so O-line's favored.
Yeah.
So now those are just the subtle nuggets, 9 to noon feels, up to the combine, into free agency mid-March, and then the draft a month and change after that. So O-line is favored. First sneak peek at Fresh Meat, 18/18, was an offensive lineman from Oklahoma. As I said, because I'm an elite teasing machine, because I'm playing fast right now, because I was on time to work today, is the eyes you have looking at these offensive linemen. It's different. I don't know anything about Rick Dennison. Rick Dennison, the run game coordinator, offensive line coach, he's in the mix.
New eyes matter.
Kevin Stefanski. 9 to noon has been Team Stefanski for a decade and a half. We respect Kevin's approach largely and maybe mostly because Kevin is not an individual who has to have it my way or the highway. Kevin is open to other ideas if he feels that they, A, have better ideas, or they've put in the work and they're farther down the road. Gary Kubiak, that's the wild card in this mix.
Mm.
This man not only has won a Super Bowl, this man has won a lot of games with a lot of offensive linemen who were selected in rounds three or deeper. This is the cliched fly in the ointment.
Ooh.
Gary Kubiak looking at offensive linemen. So does that necessarily mean we have to go offensive line at 18 and or second round and or third round? My answer is no. But I still would bet, my guys in the cornfields would bet offensive lineman at 18.
Yeah.
Well, I would bet that. I like that Oklahoma name that you brought out there. There are some guards that I'm excited for you to share. Hopefully they're on your list.
Mm-hmm.
Because my February intel is in this draft, defensive linemen up and down the line, specifically three technique and defensive ends, 4-3 defensive ends, and guards and centers. They're all over the draft.
Yep.
You can get good ones all over the draft. Oklahoma tackle at 18. Move the South Dakota kid to left guard. Restructure his bit.
Oof.
Get Big Boy to restructure. A few others. Make a move on an offensive lineman in free agency. Ain't no stopping us now.
Better find that Miami Super Bowl slogan.
Miami, mission to Miami. Mission from mediocrity to Miami.
So how I'll be laying it out, and you mentioned the eyes on it, and that's where...
We are guest-free tomorrow, and I plan to... unless Tim Miles texts me back, or Boudreaux joins at 9.
We have Lindsey Whalen at 9:15. Oh, so we have or 9:55, excuse me.
Sweet.
So we have at least one guest.
We are virtually guest free tomorrow, which means plenty of time to go 18/18.
Why not?
Because we got to get 18 players done. I mean, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 8. We have 11 shows to get 17 players done. 11 radio presentations, 9:25 to noon. Which means if I have 45 segments during the week with my propensity to be late, go ahead and make that number 40.
Yeah.
Just cut off 5. The opening segment, 5 consecutive days.
So let's have more names and let's
names tomorrow.
Let's get the right answer to this thing.
Great. Paul Allen, Brian Heating and Cooling Studios, FM 100.3, KFAN. Go wild this evening. No excuses, boys. Beat those Flyers so we have some positivity tomorrow. Time for the producer to put a wrap on the show.
Thanks to the Paddy Wagon, sponsoring the 9 to noon show wraps. The Paddy Wagon. All right, what do we got here? Scrap heap of sports, trading dollars for dimes. Set PA's phone to Eastern so we'd show up on time. On the roads like a mime, looks like we're screaming in silence, weeping, gnashing of teeth, on the verge of violence. Survive the commute, no need for soothsayers, for the wild we root, so forget the naysayers. Unlike healthcare, radio is single payer, free for doctors, lawyers, and bricklayers. Aaron Gleeman made it to studio, took an Uber, bored with Corey Cove, massively overrated McGruber. 18 looks at 18, clearly it's gotta be O-line, or the fan base will be throwing up collective L signs.
It's not a radio show, it's a love covenant. It's Paul Allen on The Fan.
Hold on to your butt. Anytime
you're out from under. I love it, baby.
Woo. Hey, have a seat for a second.
What are you looking at, Beetle?
Temporary lane. You like that?
No!
You like that?
So that would be an L for today.
You like that? You like that? Yeah!
We got
9 to noon.
Good times.
If it's good news or money, leave a message.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Paul Allen Channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.